Hello and welcome to Quote Unquote Guilty, the only guilty pleasure podcast with air quotes in the title. I'm your host, Joe Ketchum, and I'm joined today once again by the Andrew Kropel. How's it going,
Hello.
Andrew?
Merry Christmas!
It's over.
Oh.
Yeah, we were talking before we recorded, like, he's like, you know, this is another Christmas thing, right? I was like, God damn it, why didn't I do this at Christmas? This would have been a fine choice for a Christmas episode, but it's coming out January sometime. Somewhere between celebrating the second year of Trumpism and our New Year's special.
Yeah. So. I mean, we are recording this today.
Yeah, we're recording this today, the day it comes out, live.
Mm-hmm. January.
In living Technicolor.
Here, I'll just start naming off dates so you can...
just edit it in?
Put it in there. Yeah.
It's Tuesday, January 1st. It's Tuesday, January 8th. It's Tuesday, January 15th. It's Tuesday, January 22nd. So I just dropped that in there.
Yep. Seamless edit.
Although it could very well be the following Tuesday, which I believe is the 31st. No, 29th. 29th.
29th?
Yep.
I don't know how math works. I learned Common Core. Oh.
That's right. We're talking about Common Core because Andrew has some very upsetting ideas about how stupid our kids should stay throughout childhood.
It's not that bad.
And how unprepared they should be for life beyond school. It's pretty bad, man.
The fundamentals.
I am a teacher. It's fucking terrible. I'd never considered that method before. I mean, I guess I would give that to like a first grader.
Really?
Yeah. I'm telling you, kids are information sponges. They can handle way more than Common Core and No Child Left Behind give them credit for.
So, like, how old were you when you were learning, like, because you and I both moved to Decatur.
Yeah.
So, what grade did you move to Decatur?
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade, so that means that you were still in Kalamazoo, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, where I was out of Kalamazoo, and I was actually in Decatur by fourth grade, when I was learning how to do this sort of multiplication. Yeah. Anyway.
It's a real scary time.
Of multiplication, we're talking, there was someone who put up a thing about 35 times 12.
Yeah.
Was that it?
That was the problem. And then they broke down 35 into 30 and 5, and they broke down 12 into 10 and 2. And then they created this elaborate box of really quick multiplication and addition problems. And then they just added all together and they got finally 420 when you should be able to solve it a lot quicker than that.
I think the point is to show kids how to break it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you did the same thing when you were like, take 10 by
35 times 10 35. Plus 35 times 2, yes.
And they just added one more little extra step.
They added one step that gave the whole problem a whole new dimension of complication that, you would need a piece of paper to solve it. It's like, I did that in my head. I can do a lot of complicated math problems in my head. It just takes a while, and you have to keep everything straight in your head. It's easier on paper, but I think that's...
Are we seriously getting?
We're going to do a whole episode. We're going to do an episode about this. Fuck it. We'll come back at Christmas for Arkham Origins. We're getting into this now. I'm just saying that, like common basic math at the early second, third, fourth grade level should really focus on mental math. It should really focus on breaking these things down in your head and multiplying them in your head, doing these much simpler equations, and then keeping them track and linking them together. Kids can do that. That is not the problem. The problem is the legislature.
And the problem, or the thing is I see this as giving kids a way how to graph it in their head.
Yeah, but it's more complicated than the way we learned. It's like, if you're going to solve it on paper, just do it in the original way. How is this so much better?
I learned basically by rote, which was horrible. It was not a good way how to learn. That's it. Anyway, enough Common Core. Let's get to the fun stuff.
I was thinking about this has to be about the 10th Batman-related episode we've done on Quote Unquote Guilty.
Really?
It's got to be getting up there. I was trying to think of them before we started recording, before you Skyped in. It's like going all the way back to episode 2, Batman v Superman's colon, Dawn of Justice. And going forward from there, it's been a lot of Batman.
Really?
Yeah. We did Batman Forever. We did Dark Knight Strikes Again. We did...
Anyone do Batman and Robin?
We have not done Batman and Robin because it's garbage and no one actually likes it. Man, I could swear there's like 8 of them that we've done. I can't think of most
there
of
were
them
a few,
now.
Someone had to have done The Killing Joke, maybe?
Nope.
No.
Though we will do that movie. I liked it.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But, I haven't seen it yet, so.
But this is only our second ever video game episode, so that's exciting.
Yeah. What was the first one?
Pokemon Go.
Awesome.
Also very early days of the podcast. Like, Pokemon Go had only been out for a couple weeks, and we're like, we should do this for the podcast because it's taken over everyone's lives, and it's not a very good game even. I still have friends who are obsessed with Pokemon Go. It's like, they still do it all the time. I was like, really? Still? It lost me almost a year ago. Like, me and Amanda went on our honeymoon, and I couldn't Pokemon Go while we were abroad on our cruise, and I came back, and I just never turned it back on.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be, like, you're always going to have that diehard group, but I have sirens over by me.
Yeah, I hear them.
Sorry.
That's okay.
The Joker's out. Whoa. I mean, the Black Mask is out. Whoa.
But no, this is a completely different animal. This is Batman Arkham Origins.
A real video game.
A real video game. For some reason, it's not a very popular game. Mm-hmm. People don't like this one in the series. And I kind of see where they're coming from. It's like, it's not the most exciting game to play. It has an amazing story. It looks great. The gameplay is fun. But it's kind of a lot of the same fight after fight. There's a couple of Prowler mode challenges that aren't really as much fun as the previous games. But, you know, it's still an Arkham game. And these Arkham Asylum changed video games. Like...
Yeah.
That came out and was like, oh, this is how you do a Batman game. This is everything. This is amazing.
So maybe we should talk a little bit about the history of the Batman games, because Batman used to be one of those characters that actually all superheroes were always difficult to make video games about. And whenever you saw that there was a video game coming out about a superhero, you'd go, oh, here comes another one. And like, you'd gag a little.
Yeah, and but I feel like they got really good with it. Around the time Spider-Man 2, the video game, came out, that again changed what it meant to play a superhero video game.
But Batman was always, like, bad video games.
Yes.
And then suddenly this company called Rocksteady comes out, and they are a brand new company, and they somehow managed to get the license to Batman. And this was their first game. Batman Arkham Asylum came out, and that was their very first game. Everyone was, like, rolling their eyes and being like, oh, this is gonna be just... Someone is making more shovelware. And suddenly it came out, and people were like, hey, this is really good. They have an extremely good combat system.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not sure which came out first, this or Arkham Asylum or Assassin's Creed, but they both have very similar combat mechanics.
I'm pretty sure Assassin's Creed predates Arkham Asylum. I could be wrong, but I think that's older.
But I think it's only by like a year or two.
That could be.
They would have been in development at around the same time. So Arkham Asylum was such an interesting game. And basically, the plot of that is you are Batman and you get trapped on in the Arkham Asylum, and you have to figure out, there's like some detective story to figure out.
It's a prison break story. Like, you've before the game starts, you've caught the Joker and you're taking him to Arkham, but he kind of wants to be caught because he's got this whole plan in place to overthrow Arkham and, you know, wreak havoc from Arkham. So it's a really fun game. It's a pretty good story. I don't even remember the story for Arkham City. I just remember the game being incredibly short. But Arkham Origins, this one, has maybe the best story of them all. But I haven't played Arkham Knight, so.
It's okay.
I heard it's fine. It's just a lot of Batmobile stuff. It was like, they finally gave us the Batmobile, and then they kind of didn't do anything fun with it.
Yeah. The combat's fun, but it gets tedious with the Batmobile. Because the Batmobile is a really cool idea. It's just, you don't want... It's not Batman. Batman isn't just the Batmobile.
And right,
the Batmobile isn't a tank. The Batmobile is like a really fast, drivable vehicle. Like, that's what it is. And this game turns it into a tank.
Despite what Teen Titans Go would have us believe with Batmobile the movie.
I haven't seen that yet. Is it any good?
Yeah, it's fun. And it gives us, actually, I just realized it gives us things to do for loose cannons, so that'll be awesome.
Yay.
We can totally do loose Batmobile cannons. The movie.
A Patreon exclusive.
A Patreon exclusive show just for you folk.
Who pay a dollar.
Who give me a dollar. A measly dollar, and then you can listen to Loose Cannons. I want to go ahead, while I'm thinking about it, pre-plug our Christmas episode of Loose Cannons, which is free. We did Angels with Filthy Souls from Home Alone.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh my god, it was fun. And now I just want to write that movie that we came up with. Like, our version of Angels with Filthy Souls, I would love to watch that movie.
And go listen to it on Patreon.
And go listen to it for free. That's right, patreon.com/wordsalad. Where there's a few free things up there, and then you can give us a dollar, a measly dollar, to listen to the rest.
Give us your money.
Anyway, Arkham Origins.
Arkham Origins.
So the story is, because all I remember about Arkham City is that Joker dies at the end. Mm-hmm. So with our third installment, we've gone back to like Batman Year One. He's just starting out. People don't even really acknowledge that he exists yet. That's how early days it is for old Bats.
This, by the way, going back a little bit behind the scenes also, this game was not made by Rocksteady. That's one of the things that caused a lot of people to kind of turn off from this.
Oh, that's interesting.
This is not by the same developers.
Was Arkham Knight? Arkham Knight? Yep. It was? It was back to Rocksteady? That's interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of people like don't even consider this part of the canon, which is ridiculous, but it's essentially the same game.
It's the same game. It's the story. It lays all that groundwork for the games that take place later. It's like it's canon as far as it can be. And I don't really have anything to knock against it, but the story I think is the best of any of the games. It's a really great story.
I remember liking it. So
I actually on YouTube today found Batman Arkham Origins parentheses the movie.
Oh,
which is just someone played through the game and they edited it together to be like a movie. But they should have edited it more because it's still 3.5 hours long.
Well, yeah,
but they could have cut out some of the smaller subplots and made it a tight little film that probably would have worked really well for me. So what's the story, Andrew?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know how recently you've watched any of the playthroughs or anything.
No, it's been a long time.
How long have you? How long since you've actually played the game?
Let's see here. Probably it came out in 2013, I believe.
Sure.
So, yeah, it came out in 2013. So I probably played it early 2014, and then my PlayStation kind of died. So
how does a PlayStation kind of die?
It got red light, which means that it turns on, and then it turns off, and then it turns on, and then it turns off.
Ah.
So it doesn't work. Yeah, so it's been a good 4 years since I played it. Four, almost five. You?
Well, when we first started talking about doing this, like a month ago, I started playing it, because I have my copy here in Nevada. I brought down a bunch of my PS3 games. Because I figured I would game more, being a bachelor on my own in Nevada. But no, I've only really played Arkham Origins, and that was only because we're gonna do it for the podcast. But I played it for a while, and then I was like, you know, this isn't as fun as I remember. Maybe I'll watch some playthroughs, some videos, because it's something I want to do another episode about later. Is speedruns. I'm fascinated by speedruns of video games. And there's a great one for Arkham Origins where they're not trying to do everything. They're not trying to get all the stuff or solve all the riddle or puzzles. They're just trying to get to the end of the game as quickly as possible.
Try and hit the end credits.
Yeah. So what they do is they use all these glitches and cheats to jump to different points in the game. And I can watch those all day. But today I'm watching Batman Arkham Origins, the movie. And that's been fun, too, to just kind of watch it in a more linear fashion, because the speed run had all this shit out of order. And I was like, I can't follow the story anymore. But the story's pretty good. We have this big, like, mobster Black Mask terrorizing Gotham. And he has put out a hit for $50 million on Batman. He's like, Batman's only been around for a little while, but already he's disrupting Black Mask operations. So he's going to put out a hit on him. The Hitmen are a bunch of characters that I'm sure are recognizable to comics fans, but I only knew Killer Croc and Deadshot and Deathstroke.
Is this the one with the Russian dude who you beat by, like, just punching him once, or is that a different game?
I don't think that's this one. I think
that might be Arkham Knight.
Yeah, I don't think that's this one. Oh, Bane's one of the assassins. Mm-hmm. And then there's this girl named Copperhead and a girl named Shiva or something like that. So there are all these assassins after Batman. So you have to, you're trying to track down Black Mask, and it turns out Black Mask has been murdered and replaced by the Joker. But you keep running into these assassins throughout the game too. The Electrocutioner is another one of them, who I've never heard of before. I've never seen him in anything other than this game.
Is Man-Bat in the game? I can't remember.
No, never. I don't think Man-Bat's in any of the games, unless he's in Arkham Knight. I think he's in Knights. Okay, cool. Knight. I see that Arkham, it says next Arkham Asylum, the movie, but I imagine there's an Arkham Knight, the movie, that I could watch and just get the story of it. A Man-Bat would be cool.
Yeah, like, I really enjoy, Man-Bat as a character is kind of a fun one.
Yeah.
He's a monster, and it's fun to watch superheroes fight monsters, so.
He's a bat, but he's a man.
Mm-hmm. Where Bruce Wayne is a man, no bat, though.
No, he's not literally a bat. He just likes them. He likes bats.
Mm-hmm. Actually, he's afraid of them.
Yeah, depending on the lore.
It'd be like Indiana Jones being known as, like, Viper Jones.
He should totally go by Viper Jones.
Garter Snake Jones.
Yeah.
So
we called the dog Garter Snake.
One of the good things about this game is it takes care of one of the hardest parts in game design, which is you've given the characters in the previous game all this power, and how do you basically start them back at square one?
Yeah.
Because at the end of Arkham Asylum, you go into Arkham City, and he still has most of his powers, and then they add, or gadgets, and then they add a little bit more to that.
Yeah.
But this one, what they do is they set it way early, so he's learning still how to use all of his gadgets and items.
Yeah, but he still has a few of them by default. He has the remote control Batarang, which I'm pretty sure he doesn't get until later in Arkham Asylum. He has the explosive gel, which he doesn't get until later in Arkham Asylum. So I can justify it as this version of Batman takes out things that he likely won't need. And by the time we get to Arkham Asylum, he's learned that he doesn't always need explosive gel. And if he does need it, it's a one rocket away.
Yeah.
So that's why he's kind of bare bones in Arkham Asylum, because he doesn't anticipate needing as many gadgets until all hell breaks loose.
And then same with the fighting moves, learning how to counter and things like that. That one's always a difficult one to, as a game designer, to figure out.
Yeah, because he should be capable, but you're right. He does kind of learn special combos and stuff as he goes.
Like, he shouldn't be capable at Origins, but at the end of Origins, I'm sure he is. And then you have to somehow explain why wasn't he at the beginning of Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
So, but that's, like, very nitpicky stuff like that.
It's just how video games work. It's like every Mega Man game is like, we start a new Mega Man game, why don't I have all the powers from the previous Mega Man game?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's just all nitpicky stuff from me pushing my glasses up my nose and saying, well, actually.
But I think you're right. I think it's done well. I think it's done in a way that makes sense, is believable.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with this being a prequel, like you said. It's like, anything goes with this. Like, he could be, he's younger, he's stronger. He could be, you know, fresh out of ninja training and, you know, just getting into Batmaning. He's all piss and vinegar and adrenaline.
So, also, I just saw the Penguin was in this, too. I forgot.
Penguin is, Firefly is another one of the assassins. I was familiar with Firefly.
But one of the things that I really like about the Arkham games, and I think Arkham Origins does it extremely well, is it actually brings the detective aspect of Batman into account.
Yeah.
I like that, like, one of the first crime scenes you go onto, you go into your bat vision, and, like, you're tracing a bullet around, and, like, how it flew and how it deflected, trying to figure out what happened in this room that occurred.
Yeah.
And that's when you first learn that, hey, something's not right, because according to me, the Black Mask should have died, or something like that. Like, he learns of Black Mask's at least getting killed or wounded somewhat early on, if I recall.
Yeah, it's very early on. He's only, I think maybe he's taken on the second assassin by that point. And then, yeah, he gets word that Black Mask is dead, and so he goes to investigate the crime scene. It's very confusing. Like, the forensics just doesn't add up of what happened to Black Mask, if it even is Black Mask, if it's not, who is it, you know, all this stuff. The crime seems to have taken place days earlier, and then someone torched it, and then, you know, the Penguin's there for some reason. It's like, it's all very confusing, so he has to go to get more evidence, or more gadgets to figure it out.
Yeah, it's one of those cases where someone's trying to frame Penguin, I believe, right?
The police believe it's Penguin, but I don't think anyone's trying to frame Penguin. Mm-hmm. It's just because shoddy police work.
As with all Batman games.
Yeah.
And Batman fiction.
Yeah, it's like, if the police were good at their jobs, we wouldn't need a Batman.
Now, is Gordon commissioner at this point?
He's Captain James Gordon. So he's in a position of authority, but him and Batman don't know each other. They're not friends. That kind of develops over the course of the game. Because Gordon does not trust him at all. He's like, just let us do our job. Don't interfere. I'm not in favor of vigilantes. And at some point, he's going to come around to the idea that Gotham needs Batman.
Yeah. So what's your favorite part of the game? And do you like the combat aspect of this? I know some people get turned off by the combat.
Yeah, the combat Batman games. The combat gets a little boring after a while.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's fine, but some of the, even the basic henchmen are kind of overpowered, and you have to dodge things in like 12 different ways to actually avoid being hit. It gets a little grating.
Yeah.
My favorite part of all of these games is the Prowler mode.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
how could I forget?
I mean, God. And I'd say it's probably the weakest in this game. I'd much rather do it in Arkham Asylum, Arkham City. Mm-hmm. But it's such a cool game within the game to, like, silently take out armed thugs rather than, you know, just running in and fighting them head on and dying. It's like, it's such a Batman thing to do, to like rig all these traps and use your gadgets and descend from the ceiling and dive into crates, or not crates, but there's these like underground
grates.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, not crates, grates. That's what I wanted. And then there's all these cool ways you can take people out. And in the other games, it seemed like you could plan it a bit better. You could have a bit more fun with it. Whereas this one is just, you know, you pick away at them till they're all gone.
I think Arkham Asylum does it best, and it does it best because it literally walls off the area, I think. Because with Arkham City, if you fail, you can just quickly jump off and fly somewhere else. And same with Origins, and same with Knight. But in Asylum, it basically becomes a level that you have to beat, which is just a lot of fun.
And maybe I didn't get far enough into Origins, but in Asylum, you could like buy upgrades for your gadgets to that they would take down people. They wouldn't just like annoy them. Like, you could actually get a batarang that was capable of taking someone out or electrocuting someone or something like that to actually render them unconscious. Whereas there's like three ways to do it in Origins, at least as far as I've gone.
Yeah, because there's a whole boss level in Asylum with Mr. Freeze or Dr. Freeze. I can't believe Mr. Freeze. Dr. Freeze, right?
Yes. He has a PhD in freezing.
Yeah, that's right.
Victor Freeze.
He worked very hard for his degree, goddammit.
Apparently he's somewhere in Origins, but I haven't seen him in any of the gameplays. Because he's voiced by the Brain. He's voiced by the guy who does the Brain in Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
It's Maurice. Gosh. It's Maurice something. I was just looking at it. And I was just looking at the cast like, oh, that's cool. It's Maurice LaMarche.
Oh.
Plays Mr. Freeze.
That's cool.
I'm almost 100% sure that is also the Brain.
We'll go with it. We'll be very boomery and not look it up.
Yeah, I've just got pictures of it. I'm not going to go back into IMDb and find it.
So, I agree with you. I always enjoyed the stealth aspects of this game.
Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe they really perfected in City. My only real criticism of Arkham City is how short it is.
Yeah.
Like, when I beat it, I couldn't believe it was over. It's like, I bought this game, like, new, and it's over already. Yep. I spent a lot of money on this, and it's done.
Yeah, that's where I bought it used when I played it. Actually, I didn't even buy it. I played my brother-in-law's version.
Yeah. So I actually gave my copy to John Stahl. Like, he wanted to check it out. And so he still has it, as far as I know.
Yeah, John. You still have it.
I know you're listening, John Stahl. You have my Arkham City game, you bastard. No, you can keep it. It's so short. I don't know if I think I have Arkham Asylum around here somewhere. Maybe.
Yeah, that I think with City, they wanted you to buy a lot of DLC in order to make that game play longer. Like, you
were able to play downloadable? Like
Nightwing and different characters besides Catwoman and Batman.
Robin also apparently in this game somewhere. I'm starting to wonder if I'm looking at the wrong the wrong IMDb. I was pretty sure I had it right.
Oh, Dick Grayson. No, Dick Grayson's in this.
Yeah. I have not seen him.
Josh Keaton.
Yeah, but Josh Keaton, of course, does the voice of Spider-Man in Spectacular Spider-Man.
Oh. Another voice actor that popped out to me was I saw that it isn't Mark Hamill who is doing the Joker. It was Troy Baker.
Yep,
because Troy Baker's another. He's another very famous voice actor. He played Joel in The Last of Us.
Oh, okay,
and a few other people.
Yeah, I looked a little bit at his filmography. I noticed that he played Batman in something else. Oh, I think it was like a Lego Aquaman movie. He was Batman in.
He also plays as Harvey Dent in Arkham Knight.
Right. Yeah, I think I saw that too. Because, yeah, Mark Hamill retired after Arkham City. I was like, with that story and the death of the Joker, he was like, okay, then that's the end of my Joker. Then I'm done. Mm-hmm. And when they came back with this one, he was like, nope, I'm done. I was done with the last one. I'll come back and do Killing Joke if there's ever a Killing Joke movie, which there was, and he did. But also, I was really surprised that Kevin Conroy does not do the voice of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it for all the other games. He's done it for basically every Batman thing you can imagine. Except for some of the newer stuff. But he's been Batman since the 90s cartoon. And the guy doing it here, whose name is Roger Craig Smith, does a pretty good Kevin Conroy, because I was sure it was still him.
Oh, yeah. They did a lot of good replacement with the voice actors.
Yeah, the guy you mentioned with Joker, mm-hmm. he does a really good Mark Hamill.
Troy Baker.
Yeah, Troy Baker.
Yeah.
He nails it. Of course, we got Tara Strong playing Harley Quinn. She's another famous voice actor, and I think she might have originated the role of Harley Quinn. I'd have to check, but it was either her. I know she's done the character before in other mediums, but it was either her or another actress who tended to play Harley. And I don't know if she did it first or what, but
she was like Bubbles also.
Yeah, she's a Powerpuff Girl. She's on Teen Titans Go. I can't remember which one she plays. I think she's Starfire. Oh. But yeah, she's very famous in terms of voice actors. Peter McNichol plays the Mad Hatter. I thought that was a weird choice.
What has he played in, Joe?
He's probably best known for being the weird lawyer from Ally McBeal, but also
Dracula didn't loving it. Sorry.
The bad guy from Ghostbusters 2 who runs the art museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's all the voice actors that stood out to me as like, oh, okay. CCH Pounder plays Amanda Waller. That's cool. I feel like she might have done that role in another place, too, at some point.
Yeah. They do have the star power still
Yeah.
in their voice acting.
It's they, just... they, they got some surprise people in there. I'm really surprised Kevin Conroy didn't want to do it.
That's one of the other things that people complain about in this is Mark Hamill and Kevin Conway. Sorry.
Conroy.
I've been watching
Conroy.
I can't speak.
Conway is the captain of the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of that too.
Quack. No, quack. 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 Quack.
Everyone, quack. Quack.
Quack. Quack.
That way
quack.
You can be quiet.
Sorry. So the ducks, it's the duck in me.
Yeah. So the fact that neither the original Batman or Joker were in it upset people. And the fact that it was the Joker also was something that kind of got people perturbed.
I do remember that criticism, like before the game even came out. It was like, Joker again? But it's a great story. I think they do a lot with the Joker in this one. It's really fun to see, like, that rivalry between what's essentially the Conroy Batman and the Hamill Joker begin, even though it's not them voicing them.
Yeah, I really liked this game when it came out.
Yeah.
I wish I'd played a lot more of it.
I don't think I got it right away because I was a little disappointed by City. I was like, they're just churning them out now. I'll wait. And I got this one, I think, when I bought my second PS3, like a Black Friday deal. It came with this and The Last of Us. So I was like, okay, I'll pick it up. I'll try it. Like, I've really wanted to play The Last of Us for a while. I'm sure I'll enjoy Arkham Origins for as short as it'll be, but no, this is a long ass game.
Yeah.
It takes a while to get through it.
Almost as if they got complaints.
It's almost as if they got some complaints about Arkham City being so short. Yeah. I was like, do we really need 8 assassins coming after Batman? 8 boss battles?
But yeah, 8 is, it's always a lot of fun playing Batman, trying to figure out how to defeat bosses. That's always been fun too.
Yeah, but again, I think it was probably the best in Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember it in City, but this one, it's like there's a big boss. He runs at you. You jump over him. You punch him a bunch in the back.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have an issue? Are you a button masher when it came to this, or did you actually try and time your punches?
With this, I actually slowed down and tried to time everything. It's like you got to really pay attention when you're being attacked to counter and then attack someone else and throw the cape and beat someone down, but keep your eye for another counter. It's like you can't just button mash and hope to get through the game unscathed.
Yeah.
That's a rookie mistake.
Yeah, that's a problem that I've heard is people are like, I can't figure out how to fight in this game well. And it's like you have to take your time and just kind of watch.
Yeah.
Watch the animation and go with it. Which is, again, the development team and the art team did a really good job with that. So, kudos.
It looks gorgeous, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the visual style has only gotten better game to game. Like, even what I've seen of Arkham Knight, it's a beautiful game. And this one, it's dark and gritty, but there's, like, the character design, when you get, a real close shot of the Joker's face, he looks awesome. The bat suit with its like gradually falling apart, tattered cape and the scrapes in its skull from all the fighting throughout the game is like, it looks amazing.
And that's really cool to see is his suit just kind of deteriorating around him.
Which they've done since Asylum. I always thought it was kind of cool that the cape got frazzled over the course of the game. But this one, you get some close-ups on his mask and everything, and there's just scrapes all across it. I was like, oh, that's from earlier. I remember that fight.
You almost have a flashback going back to that fight.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's traumatic.
I hear that Rocksteady is actually going to be coming out with a different superhero.
Do tell.
Do you want to guess who it is?
Let's see. Who would I want it to be? I would really love a great like Arkham-level Superman game. I would really love a great Arkham-level Green Lantern game.
Well, you're right. It's actually, they're going to be making a Justice League.
Oh, that's less exciting to me. I mean, I hope it works, but
I think either that, I can't remember if it's, I think Justice League is the end goal, but I think they want to do Superman first, I want to say. Superman or Wonder Woman. I can't remember which one.
A Superman game that's in this like big world where you got all this stuff to do, I would be all for.
The only problem with Superman is he's super overpowered.
Yeah, but, you know, people have been writing Superman for 70 years. 75? Oh, yeah. 80 years? 70 years?
But there's never been a good video game with Superman. That's the only problem.
No. The one I think that has gotten closest, because I've played it a lot, and I would not mind picking up a copy because I have a PS2 at home, is the Superman Returns movie game. I don't remember what it's actually called. It might just be Superman Returns or something like that. Because it's the only one where you have a great, big, enormous Metropolis environment to fly around and fight monsters in.
Yeah.
I played that for hours. Just because I loved flying around this massive environment. I loved it. And occasionally I would go down and fight a robot, and occasionally I would, you know, stop or whatever, bank robbery, but mostly I just like flying at top speed and shooting shit with my laser beams and blowing ice breath and blowing cars over with my ice breath. You could do a lot of stuff, not a lot, not enough, but
well,
enough for me to
PlayStation
stay,
2 game.
Yeah, it was enough for me to stay really entertained through the whole thing. If I ever find a copy, we can do another episode about it, because I spent hours and hours and hours just flying around Metropolis as Superman. Yeah. So I love for them to do a Superman game on this level, where there's this much to do and there's actually, you know, challenges to the villains without just making Superman a guy who, if you hit him too many times, he dies, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you can write it, you can do it, but it's tricky. And I think if these games prove anything, I think it's that they could handle it.
I think a good, fun superhero, and I'm going to be jumping over to Marvel, even though they'll never do a Marvel game. I think they'll probably stick to DC.
I think they'd have to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see a Daredevil game.
Oh, yeah.
Daredevil, like, the third-person mode even makes a lot of sense, because, like, that's basically how he sees. He sees through walls, or quote-unquote sees through walls, and...
Yeah, but like instead of detective mode, you could go to first person and like see with the radar vision as Daredevil. That would be tits. I would love a Daredevil game.
A good one.
Yeah.
Because I think there was one that came out during the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
I think you're right. I never played it. I think Marvel is starting to get into the video game again. Yeah. Like they gave up on it a while because none of these games worked or were well-received or fun. But I think they're doing an Avengers tie-in game soon.
Mm-hmm. Which
I mean,
I'm nervous
about. I would be nervous about, too. I'd have to see some gameplay, but they're so good at making movies. Why can't they make a decent video game? And I get that it would be a separate company. Yeah. It's like, it's a separate creative team and all, but come on. These people who grew up, it's like, if you grew up on a superhero video game, you're like, oh, this is kind of fun, but it'd be so great if you could do this, this, and this. Like, now they should be old enough to do this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
Like, those are the people making video games now, are the people who are disappointed by all these video games.
Exactly. And I think a good DC character would be the Flash.
Flash would probably be a fun one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially with how popular the Flash TV show is. Like, you could totally sell a Flash video game if it was done well.
Because you have, like, the bullet time aspect where you slow down time and, like, you can just run around and do things.
You can phase through walls. You could run up walls. So, like, you could do all kinds of stuff with a Flash video game. That would be a lot of fun.
But I think Rocksteady's doing either Superman or Wonder Woman. I can't remember.
Either I would be fine with, but a really, really great Superman game, I would probably buy instantly. Like, maybe not because it's really expensive, but I would be on the lookout for one at a slightly cheaper rate.
Yeah, you would wait until the reviews.
Yeah.
And then...
I mean, apparently the following Black Friday is the time to get any game you want, because I bought Star Wars Battlefront 2 for $8 on Black Friday, and it just came out last Christmas. Yeah.
That's good.
I thought it was going to be 14. I was like, oh, that's a good price for it. No, when I actually bought it, it was 8.
Wow. That's what I love about... Here soon, there's going to be a Steam sale for the PC.
Yeah, I have to keep an eye out for that. If you see it, let me know, because I want to get that virtual tabletop program. I needs it.
I was looking at it.
Yeah, it looks fun. Yeah, and you can play just about anything on it, so... I just, I don't want to pay full price for it. I want to wait for the I want to wait for the sale.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's only like $20 anyway, but
yeah, but still $20 can be a little steep for
especially that. Since I don't know that I have other people to play with. Mm-hmm. I need other people to buy it too.
Yeah. And I think normally you can buy multiple copies and gift them, but no. What am I made of money?
Yeah, exactly. I might
back to Origin.
I might buy two, like if I could give, like I need Amanda. If Amanda wanted to play, she could play from Chicago.
That's what I love about video games. With multiplayer games, like I have friends who are in the UK right now that I play with all the time. And if I were ever to go to the UK, like I would definitely try and hit them up and like go out to a pub with them. Like that's something you can't do with films and books and music even. With video games, you interact and try and figure out these puzzles together, which just brings people closer together.
I don't know. I think it can happen with film. I feel like next time I'm in Denver, I might hit up Blank Check star Brian Bonsall for a slice of pizza or whatever.
Oh, yeah. But that was also through podcasting.
Yeah, that's really true.
Through film.
Yeah. Podcasting mm-hmm. brings people together a little bit easier mm-hmm. than just watching a movie and liking it.
Exactly. But back to Origins.
Back to Origins.
So, who was your favorite boss?
Again, I didn't play very much, so it's hard for me to remember which one was really fun mm-hmm. to beat. Deathstroke was fun to fight.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, it's just kind of an elaborate hand-to-hand combat. It took me a few times to beat him because he comes at you with a variety of things.
It's a quick time event.
Yeah. I seem to remember that Bane is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
maybe not the first time you fight him. Yeah, he runs at you and clobbers you. I don't think the first time you fight him is anything special, but he comes back later. Mm-hmm. And I seem to remember that fight being more engaging.
I don't remember any boss fights in particular.
Deadshot.
Yep.
His boss fight is Predator mode. It's you have to save the hostage he's holding at gunpoint by taking out all his henchmen and him without alerting him.
Oh.
So that's always fun.
Again, another sneaking prowler mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I find interesting about this game is that some of Batman's gadgets he invents out of necessity or has a prototype going that he's going to try out. But mm-hmm. a lot of his gadgets are just things he gets from the bosses.
Oh, yeah. He Mega Mans.
Yeah, he Mega Mans. Totally he Mega Mans. He takes Deathstroke's like cable shooter thing that comes uh-huh. in really handy throughout the game. He takes the electrocutioner's shot gloves. I feel like he takes something else from someone else. But it's a lot of, because, you know, Batman isn't the most inventive person. Like, he knows his way around the science, but most of his stuff is invented by, what's his name?
Alfred?
No.
No, Fox.
Yes, Lucius Fox. But in this game, actually, Alfred does invent a glue bomb for Batman. So Alfred knows his way around the soldering iron, mm-hmm. too. But I just thought it was interesting that how adaptive this version of Batman is. Or he picks up things that he thinks is useful and he modifies them, and maybe you can see how they form the basis for future gadgets and future games. You mm-hmm. know.
Oh, I just noticed that Matt Mercer's in here too.
Who's that?
He's another famous voice actor.
Okay.
He does like Critical Role, if you've ever heard of that, the D&D thing.
It sounds familiar. Podcast. I think maybe I've heard you talk about it.
And Nolan North, he's also in this. Sorry, I just got looking and I noticed them. They popped out.
Hey, if John DiMaggio's not in there, I don't know nothing.
Actually, I don't know if he's in there.
I looked through it all. I didn't see him. I probably would have noticed him.
So I think that's it. Like,
yeah.
I like the combat. I've always liked the combat in the Arkham games, but like talking about it, just timing and hitting the right buttons, it kind of turns into a huge quick time event, but it's fun and it lets you feel super powerful.
Yeah, I wish it was done a little bit better where, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's like you have more time to react to the counter so that you can double up on it and have more interesting stuff going on. I think it's this one too. You can learn how to do like special finishers. If you get a high enough combo, you can like jump up in the air and throw a batarang at everyone who's left and knock them all out.
Yeah.
That's always fun, stuff like that, if you can do it. But again, it requires patience. It requires, like, you can't just button mash. You have to know exactly what you're doing the whole way through the fight. It's pretty rewarding, though, if you can master some of those skills.
Yeah, it's like learning a fatality in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Although way more difficult, because a fatality does not require, like, 5 minutes worth of fighting just for one great payoff.
Although, I've never been able to get the Mortal Kombat finishers
ever. Like, some of them I'm convinced don't work. It's like, I had a cheat sheet when I was a kid with all of them, and I was like, oh, this sounds amazing, let's try this one. And then we would do it, and I was like, all right, let's try it again. We would try it again and again and again, and it just never worked for some of them. Some of them work really well, especially, which game would that have been? It was like Mortal Kombat 2 or 3? Had like tons and tons of fatalities for every character. They all had like an animal fatality and
bestiality and lovality and friendly.
Yeah, there was a friendly one where it's like you didn't have to kill him, you could just like do something nice to like give like, him flowers or kiss him on the cheek.
I know they really broke the fourth wall with like Liu Kang. I know one of his fatalities was a Mortal Kombat 2 arcade cabinet fell on top of someone.
Yeah, yeah. That's fun.
Oh, I just realized what show we're on. I have to wait for you to say it, but I know what's coming up, and I'm excited.
Do you have anything else about the game you wanted to talk about?
Not really. Nope. I'm pretty much done.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, it's nice to have a big open world, but, you know, most of the game is spent getting from place to place. It's like you have to actually go there.
Which is actually kind of fun, the soaring and using your grappling hook to fling yourself in the air and then glide around the city.
Is that new for this game, or they do it in Arkham City where you can like speed up the grapple and launch yourself forward?
I think that was in Arkham City as well. I think it was new in Arkham City.
It was definitely new in Arkham City if they did it, because that was the first time you had to get across the city for missions and stuff. So, yeah, I couldn't remember if this game invented it or not, but it makes for a really fun jaunt across the city to just keep launching yourself and grabbing something else and gliding.
I should play the game and instead of gliding, just run along the streets the whole time.
Oh, God. That sounds awful. You have any idea how many, like, stupid nothing gangsters you would run into who want a piece of you?
Oh, yeah.
Just constantly. It'd be like walking around in Pokemon where you just want to get to the next city. You're tired of these wild Pidgeys jumping out at you. It's like, God, every fucking step I take.
Stay away, Rattata. Get away, thug.
It's Rattata.
Whatever. I only read it. Yeah.
It would be fun. I used to like playing video games with those little added challenges for myself. I'm trying to think of something specific, but like,
I played a realistic Assassin's Creed where I didn't allow myself to jump too far or jump up buildings, so I would actually climb up the buildings.
Oh, okay.
Realistic parkour.
Going back to original Pokemon, I used to play it where I could only use the Pokeballs I found.
Oh,
I could not.
You never bought.
Yeah, I could never buy Pokeballs, but I could catch as many Pokemon as I found or found Pokeballs to catch. So I think that was an interesting challenge for Pokemon, because once you play it through, it's pretty easy to play through again. But that was an interesting challenge. Probably not as challenging as catching all the goddamn Pokemon. That's impossible. I mean, you'd have to play through a pretty hefty part of the game twice or three times just to get all the Eevees.
Pokemon's a weird breed.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth its own show, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, we did Pokemon Go. We haven't done any other Pokemon media. Like, the old TV show is fun. And the original game, I think I started, like, the next one, the Game Boy Advanced Pokemon version. I didn't get very far into it. I just didn't care to start all over.
Oh. Yeah, I only played Pokemon Blue.
Yeah, Blue was mine, too. Keith had Red.
Blue and red are the original. I don't care. Yellow is not original.
No. Keith, no. We had yellow too, but blue and red were the ones we played. Yellow was just fun because you get all three of the starters in the game. It was pretty awesome.
Plus Pikachu,
which was useless on the first gym and pretty useless in the second gym. Like, you had to really power it up to even give Misty a match. But anyway, you should have been stronger, but Misty was like, oh, you're bringing an electric Pokemon? I'm going to make mine way stronger. Enjoy, sucka. Anyway, this isn't Pokemon.
No.
Let's talk about the guilty pleasures of characters in Batman: Arkham Origins. Yes.
That's sounds what like, I was excited about.
I know. Sounds like you have a good one ready to go.
I don't. Okay, I actually do.
I don't have one. Hang on. Oh God, there's actually some pretty good ones. Well, you give me yours. I'll think of one.
Okay. I want you to do Barbara Gordon.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Who turns into Batgirl, who turns into Oracle.
Why don't you do this version of the Riddler?
Yeah, the Riddler. We didn't even talk about Riddler.
Yeah, it's a whole other kind of subplot of all these games where Riddler has a bunch of little puzzles for you to solve. One time in Arkham Asylum, I tried to go through and find them all.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember how many I did before I gave up on it, but this game's kind of interesting in that... It's like there's a subplot that you don't have to do at all to beat the game, but he's collected information about really powerful people in Gotham, and it's going to get out in the morning and ruin a bunch of people's lives and create chaos. So you have to track down all these thugs that he has hired to keep this information and interrogate them into telling you where the information is and then go and collect it all.
Yeah. And yeah, I remember those.
I did one. Because I was like, I did one, and I got to the thing, and I could see it on the wall. I was like, I don't even know how to collect this. I was like, and I'm jumping at it, and I'm throwing batarangs at it. I was like, I can't even collect the stupid thing. I don't know how. It's just going to sit here forever now. So I don't know what I did wrong that I couldn't collect it, but I couldn't figure it out.
So, the Riddler.
Barbara Gordon. BG, we call her.
TR.
Bargo.
What do you do?
The old embargo.
Teddy Roosevelt.
I'm trying to come up with anything except masturbating to Batman.
Because someone likes the Killing Joke movie.
I do. I did like the Killing Joke movie, and they get it on, and it's pretty sexy.
I think I've got it.
I think maybe. I do, too.
So, I guess I gave it to you first, so you go first, or...
No, you can go.
He really likes Sudoku.
Of course.
Because it like challenges his mind. He sucks at it. Like, he's good at all other riddly and puzzly types of things. But for some odd reason, Sudoku is the one thing that he just can't wrap his head around. So he actually finds it challenging. Like, he has a book of easy Sudoku and he can't figure it out.
That's really good.
like it only goes from 1 to 5. So it's a 5x5, or like a, what would it be? Not 1 to 10, so.
Be 5x5.
A 5x5? Does that
If it only goes to 5, I don't think you can have a Sudoku that only goes to 5.
Yeah. Maybe 4. I think you can do one with 4. No, you can't. 8.
I can't, it's hard for me to imagine one that's not 9. 9x9. I guess you could do maybe 6x6.
Yeah, it has to be divisible by 3. But either way, he just has a hard time with it. And so he just really loves it. It's like the one riddle that he can't even figure out. That's but of course, good. Batman can figure it out. He doesn't even have to really look at it very hard. He just gets it. But the Riddler, that's his thing.
I feel like Sudoku. He enjoys it and he keeps coming back to it, but it's also what drives him crazy. It's also like when he pops up to wreak havoc on Gotham, it's because he's like sitting at home with a Sudoku and is like, all right, I got it this time. I definitely got it this time. He's like, what? This row already has a 7. Oh, blow up the city.
What people don't realize is all of his Riddler puzzles and clues has like a little Sudoku next to it that he wasn't able to complete in hopes that Batman finds it and is able to complete it for him. So he'd be like, oh, the agony. It's done. It got figured out.
I've always liked the Riddler character. When they were doing Dark Knight Rises, like before we knew anything about it, they announced that Joseph Gordon-Levitt had been cast. Like, oh, he'd make a good Riddler. Like a Riddler before the Riddler. Like, he's like working for the police department as a consultant. Oh, that would have been so good.
Like, no, Edward Nygma.
they decided to do a terrible movie instead.
Yep. Where his name is Robin. His name is literally Robin.
His literal name is Robin. Spoiler alert for the end of Dark Knight Rises. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a Robin named Robin.
Not even Richard.
Not even Richard. Not even Jason. Robin.
Or heck, even Todd. Like, if his name were Todd Jason. It's Jason Todd, right?
I mean, yeah, Jason Todd. I can't remember the other one's name. The one before or after Jason Todd. I can't remember if he was even before or after him.
I think Dick Grayson is the first one.
Dick Grayson was first. It was Jason Todd. And then another one. Is Jason Todd the one who died?
Yeah.
So he'd be the second Robin. And then the third one is, what's his name? That guy.
His name is, leave this section blank, and we'll figure it out later. And you can just insert it in, just like the date.
Yeah. Of course, the fourth Robin is Damian Wayne, Bruce's son. I like him, too. I like Damian Wayne.
He's also a good comedian.
Damian Wayne? Oh, Damon Wayne. Wow. I was not there with you on that one.
No, you were not. I was hardly there.
I love Damian Wayne in Living Color. Okay, Barbara Gordon. I feel like her guilty pleasure is hacking.
Okay.
She's already down in that server room of the police headquarters when Batman shows up to gain his remote access to the criminal database through the the GCPD. And she's telling him how to do it. And she's saying that the hard lines are down in the sewer. You'll need to, you know, connect to those in person in order to complete all this. So I feel like she's already done all this because it helps her hack and it helps her get to the really, really good Batman porn. Like the good fan erotica of Batman. She's like is on the dark web, and she had to go through, she had to like commit several felonies to get to it. Yeah, yeah, the dark night web, exactly. Just real, real graphic BDSM stuff. That's what she likes. But it has to do with Batman.
What would BDSM stand for then?
Batman does some mania.
Batman does some...
Oh, I know. Batman does sexy mania.
Does sexy man bat.
I like it. Bestiality.
See, full circles.
That's a callback. A little callback right there.
Now let's talk about Common Core some more.
The problem with Common Core, God damn it, Bush/Obama. I know you wanted to be, I know you're the healthcare president, and that's why I don't blame you too much, but education needs to be fixed. Trump's not fixing it.
I don't know. DeVos is doing a really horrible job. You don't
even finish that sentence. God, DeVos. Yeah. DeVos, I think, is literally the Antichrist. I think she will rise to power and destroy us all.
It's because you know her from Michigan.
I had no idea who she was until she was appointed education secretary. Because I remember the day it happened, someone posted on Facebook, of course it's DeVos. And I was like, oh, what happened? Education secretary. Okay. I don't really know anything about the DeVoses. I know more than I want to know now. Goddamn evil harlot. Yeah, she's the worst.
Anywho.
She's my favorite Batman villain. Cool. Well, do you want to plug or recommend anything?
When is this coming out?
January. Probably end of January.
Okay, if it's the end of January. You know what? There's a Materia Collective thing coming out here soon. If I'm on any future episodes or past episodes, I'll have talked about it, possibly. So
you mentioned one in the Home Alone 2 episode. Is that the same one?
No, it's another one.
Okay.
I'll have that all set up in...
Remind people what Materia Collective is.
Materia Collective is a group of people who do covers of various video game albums. So it started off, they were doing Final Fantasy VII covers, thus Materia. And then... which apparently is a Final Fantasy thing. I've never played any of the Final Fantasies.
I do not get that reference either.
Yeah. And then, slowly but surely, they started putting out albums and community albums. And then they actually started publishing original video game scores. So being the publishers for those people. And they also do these community albums where a group of us get together and we write music for video games that we like. And one of them is coming up here soon. I believe the release date is the 19th of January. But okay. I'm not sure when they want us to talk about it. So
this should be out after that's out then.
Okay. But still, I'll tell you the next time I'm on.
Okay.
Sound good?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and mm-hmm. The 1988 film Bloodsport.
Of course.
Yeah. That goes without saying.
It does. I will recommend a movie called Apostle.
Okay, what's it about?
I think it's a Netflix original, though now I can't remember. It's on Netflix. It's a new movie. It's got, I'm not going to remember the actor's name, but he was in The Guest and he was on Downton Abbey. And he plays this guy who gets a ransom note from his sister. And he goes to this like religious cult commune. He tries to infiltrate it so he can find his sister and figure out what's going on here. It doesn't all hold together. It's not, you know, phenomenally good. It's probably not going to be one of my favorite movies of the year or anything. But it's got a lot of really cool stuff in it. It kept my interest. So I would recommend checking it out. It's different for sure.
I also, because you mentioned Netflix, I remembered I watched a series, a Netflix original, I believe, called Pine Gap, which is a really cool espionage film or series that it's kind of a whodunit too. But basically it's about this station in Australia that's run by the U.S. government, and they're following all the issues that are happening in the South China Sea.
Oh, okay.
And it's just a really cool espionage thing. And you get to hear some truly horrific American accents.
By Australians?
Oh, yeah.
It's usually the other way around, so mm-hmm. tables have turned, my Aussie friends.
So I would suggest watching it.
I'll also recommend...
It's only like 6 episodes.
Yeah, sorry. I'll check it out. I'll also recommend 47 Meters Down.
Okay, what's that?
It's also on Netflix, but it's definitely not a Netflix original. It's just, it was in theaters like over the summer. It's Mandy Moore and another girl. They play sisters and they're on vacation somewhere.
Okay.
I can't remember where they are. They're on vacation in Mexico or something. And they go out on this boat with these two guys they met, and they're going to get in this cage to like look at sharks. Like sharks swim mm-hmm. right by the cage and, you know, they take pictures and stuff. And then the cable snaps and they fall to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh.
And then it's like a survival / rescue story as they're trying to, you know, get high enough to they can make contact with the boat, but not get eaten by sharks. And no, well, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really like Mandy Moore, like as an actor. I think we were all skeptical about Mandy Moore when she got into acting and moved away from being a pop star, but I think we all just need to get on the Mandy Moore bandwagon. She's great. I'll always recommend This Is Us, which she's on as well, and it is a fantastic TV drama on NBC that I cannot get enough of. I recommend Mandy Moore things. Tune in to Patreon for my Mandy Moore podcast coming any day now.
Mandy Moore, like it.
First episode saved, because goddamn it, Saved is really a great movie. Yeah,
it also has Macaulay Culkin in it.
It does. Mm-hmm. It's the best. I haven't watched it in forever too. So that's all about right. all I got. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at @QuoteGuilty. Go join the quote unquote club on Facebook. The link is in the show notes. Go give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Even if you have mean things to say, just still. It's the least you could do is give us 5 stars. Yeah.
5 stars and give us your worst review ever.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Mm-hmm. Worst, like 1-star review, 5-star rating.
Yeah, do that. That's
patent pending.
That's what we should do. And we'll read it on air.
I would totally read it. I would totally read it on air. And then Patreon. Patreon.com/wordsalad to check out other shows we do just for our patrons.
And it's really nice. You'll hear me more there mm-hmm. with...
But don't let that discourage you.
Yeah. You don't have to listen to me. Yeah. But
it's clearly it labeled a little more difficult. Which episodes yeah. Andrew are on, so you can avoid them real easy.
Yeah.
But well, Andrew, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
As always, I have content, and that's good.
Content is good.
Yes. Thanks at home for listening. You are not guilty. Good night.
I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
It's Tuesday, January 1st. It's Tuesday, January 8th. It's Tuesday, January 15th. It's Tuesday, January 22nd.